Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in the heart of downtown Washington, D.C. Last Wednesday, when I was last on the show, and by the way, I am now doing Monday and Wednesday. So just so you know when you're going to hear me and when you're going to hear Leslie, it's going to be every Monday and Wednesday. Every now and then we'll move a few days to accommodate my legislative business. But in general, you can expect me on Monday and Wednesday well through the end of the year. I know, sorry if you like me every day. I have a lot of work as a state legislator, and this is, I think, the best I can do. So I'm sorry, fans, if you want me more often. I will occasionally do shows on other days. I'll do longer days. I'll occasionally be in with Leslie. But generally, every Monday and Wednesday, except, by the way, actually, next Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, because I'll be working in Richmond. But anyway, when I was last on the air on Wednesday, I was talking about Bernie versus Hillary, Clinton versus Sanders. And we had such a great discussion that by the time, well, I went off the air in my hour, we had a full board. That means that Andrew and Scott and Kelly and Dave and Paul and Britt... I did get to Helen, but the point is that we had a lot of people who I couldn't get to, and I don't like that. I don't like when you don't get a chance to speak. So here's the dirty little secret about calling into radio shows. It's true of my show. It's true of any radio show you call into. The earlier you call in, the more likely you will get on the air. Now, I try to leave no one left behind, but I did last Wednesday. I feel a little guilty about it. So if you call in now, 888-653-7543, the early callers will absolutely get on the air. You call in the last segment, I can't promise you'll get in. But I'm talking about Bernie versus Hillary, and I want to be very clear that both of them, I think, represent really good aspects of the Democratic Party. I also think that the differences between them can be overly magnified. After all, when they were both in the Senate, they voted together 93% of the time. There are differences, no doubt. That 7% packs a wallop, and they were on some very important issues of the day. And on some issues, I agree with Hillary Clinton. On other issues, I agree with Bernie Sanders. But I do want to tell you why I support Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. And if you disagree with me, as I'm sure many of you do, again, call in early, 888-653-7543. You're also welcome to call in if you agree. That's fine. But first, before I get to the differences between them, I want to be very, very clear. Whether Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders wins the Democratic nomination, I will fight like hell for that person to be president of the United States. Either of them are 1,000 times better than any of the Republicans running. I think you know this. Let's just say 500 times better than John Kasich and 10,000 times better than Cruz or... I don't know, crazy man, the Donald. So I want to be very, very clear that we need to be unified in the fall. But okay, we have a right to choose the person who bears the nominee of our party. I want to tell you why I choose Hillary Clinton. And I think the distinction, and we can get to some specifics that both of them have done or said, differences between them. But for me, there's an overall difference between them. And to me, it's the difference between what I would call a liberal, which I consider myself, and a leftist, which I don't consider myself. A liberal and a leftist both want change. They both care passionately about their country, and they want it to change. And they want it to change in the direction of the most vulnerable. Liberals and leftists agree that people who are struggling to make a living, people who are discriminated against based on their gender or their race or their income or their religion or their sexual orientation or whether or not they're trans or not, that or where they come from or immigrants, that any vulnerable person shouldn't be mistreated. Liberals and leftists both look out for the vulnerable. That's why they care about children. They care about aging people. They care about people who are struggling. That's not to say that we don't care about rich people, rich, white, straight males, Christian and all that. I mean, they're good people too, but our focus is on those most vulnerable. Liberals and leftists agree. Liberals and leftists jointly agree on protecting the environment. We think that's a very important thing to do. We agree on individual liberties. As long as you're not harming anyone, you'll find liberals and leftists agree on, for example, allowing people to use drugs. We may not approve of the drugs, but we're not going to make it illegal. Or to gamble. We're not going to regulate the sex among consenting adults. We're going to basically live and let live. Now, where you can harm others, that's different. We're not going to freely let you buy a gun or a nuclear weapon or a tank, particularly if you have severe mental illness. We want to help you if you have severe mental illness because we look out for the most vulnerable, but we don't want to let you hurt others because then the others would be vulnerable. So you see, liberals and leftists have a lot in common. Where do we differ? I think the heart of the difference between a liberal and a leftist is that a liberal wants change, but wants to work within the system to get the change, wants to make change by electing progressives, by winning elections, by having protests, by persuading people that our way is the right way, the good way, the just way, by working with police and prosecutors as much as we work with activists, by working with legislators, by calling out people publicly when they do things wrong and calling out corporations when they do things wrong, regulating corporations. That's what a liberal wants to do. A leftist, and again, this is my distinction. You may have a different one if you do. Again, call in 888-653-7543. Tell me where we disagree. But to me, a leftist wants to tear the whole thing down. A liberal says the system is flawed. We can fix it. A leftist says the system is flawed. Too flawed. It can't be fixed. We need, in Bernie Sanders' words, a revolution. Now, I'm not saying the leftists are always wrong. Sometimes you do need a revolution. Sometimes war, even violent war, is unfortunately the only thing left for someone to do. But I think it's absolutely a last resort. And there's all kinds of revolutions. I'm not saying that Bernie Sanders supports a violent uprising of the masses. I don't think he does. But I think he's closer in veering in that direction. And I think his rhetoric is revolutionary, whereas Hillary Clinton's rhetoric is reform. Now, I admit there's a fine line between revolution and reform. Sometimes I get closer to that revolution. For example, in 2000, when the United States Supreme Court threw away the Constitution and said, we're not going to let you vote, America, even though you just had a massive election that took a year and hundreds of millions of Americans voted, we're throwing your votes out the window. We're not counting them. Bush wins. Don't look around. Don't look here. Nothing happened. Go away. Move on. That's a coup d'etat. And when, in a democratic system, a group of people seize power and do a coup d'etat, as the United States Supreme Court did in 2000, in anointing Bush as leader, despite the fact that he lost the election, both in popular votes and in electoral votes, since Al Gore wins Florida when you count all the votes, or even just refusing to count the votes, is an undemocratic, unconstitutional act. And when others act outside the limits of the law and the Constitution and this pact we have between us as Americans, I lean toward the revolutionary side. That's when I was calling, in fact, on Democrats to refuse to appoint any Supreme Court justice until we could have a president elected by the American people instead of chosen by five people in robes. That's a pretty revolutionary call, but it responded to a revolutionary act, to really an illegal act. How ironic that the Republicans, through no illegal act of the Democrats, have just said, we're not going to consider a Supreme Court nominee. They will do revolution without cause. They're a rebel without a cause. They're just really angry. But I don't believe in revolutionary change unless it warrants it. Obviously, a government can become so corrupt that only revolution solves it. I don't think we're there yet. Don't get me wrong. We have lots of problems. This is my liberal self coming out again. All right, gerrymandering, massive problem. The people vote for some candidates, like in 2012, the majority of the American people voted for Democrats in the House of Representatives, and yet Republicans still control it. Not because of democracy, because of the way they weigh, they drew the district lines. Frankly, it's my hope with the death of Antonin Scalia, and we will eventually get a new justice appointed, because I think a new president will be elected from the Democratic Party, and I think we will get a new justice, and we can start maybe getting to the gerrymandering and other systemic problems we have. We've got systemic problems of money in politics. Bernie Sanders eloquently speaks about the power of money in politics. And as someone who has had to raise money in politics, I know it's not easy, it's not fun, I don't enjoy it, and I don't believe that politicians should suck up to those who give them money rather than their constituents. I hate it. I support public financing of campaigns. So Bernie Sanders is absolutely right about all of this. But sometimes you have to work within the system to change it, even to dismantle it. Heck, you could look at the Soviet Union. Gorbachev dismantled the Soviet Union, but he didn't do so by saying, I'm not a communist and I'm going to... No, he ran within the system. He was a communist. He came in there and then he helped tear it apart, as did Boris Yeltsin. Unfortunately, Vladimir Putin's putting it back together. My point is that sometimes the best way to change a system is to work from within it. I don't think the leftist way works in America, barring revolution, barring something catastrophic. Heck, even the Great Depression, which was pretty damn catastrophic, Franklin Roosevelt worked within the system to have change. Probably only the Civil War or the American Revolution were examples of when things got so out of hand that we had to take to revolution and war. And I think revolution often leads to war. So some of the difference is rhetoric. Some of the difference is policy. Liberals will work with conservatives. Democrats will work with Republicans. We don't agree with them, but if we can get a temporary coalition to get a bill done, yeah, we'll do it. I'll do it. I've done it. Leftists tend not to want to work with anyone. They are pure. They don't want to compromise. They don't want to let that good exist when they can strive for perfect. And so they're pure. They don't have to sully themselves with the messiness of politics because they will always stand for something that I strongly support, for example, like single-payer health care, the idea of Medicare for all that works so well in other countries. I support that. But Barack Obama, who's a liberal, not a leftist, was willing to do the Affordable Care Act, which isn't as good. I'm first to agree, it's not as good as single-payer. But it was a step in the right direction. Liberals take steps in the right direction. Leftists insist on leaps. If they can't get their leap, they're going home. I think these tendencies are a lot of the difference between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in the way they look at the world. Hillary Clinton sees the world as a complex, messy place where sometimes you have to make compromises to get in the direction of helping people, of fixing injustice. Bernie Sanders sees the world as almost a Manichaean divide, a separation, a black and white. Republicans are evil. Now, sometimes Republicans are pretty evil. But they're not Hitler. They're not Mussolini. Even Donald Trump, for all his authoritarian tendencies. He's not Hitler. He's not Mussolini. So, although Donald Trump would be pretty difficult to work with, I admit. But the point is that liberals will work across the aisle and leftists won't. And that's why Bernie Sanders was never a Democrat until this year. He ran as an independent. He ran as a socialist, a Democratic socialist. He ran under the Socialist Party banner because he was left of the Democratic Party. I don't think Bernie Sanders would be as successful a president as Hillary Clinton. But I still think Hillary Clinton is very tough. I still think she'll fight very hard. In fact, I think she'll fight as hard as can be to get liberal ideals. I don't like Democrats get walked all over at all. But I don't think anyone can walk over Hillary Clinton. So that's my view. What's yours? 888-653-7543. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about liberals versus leftists, talking about Hillary versus Bernie, talking about your choices. I've said mine. Let me hear from you. Let's go to Stephen in New Mexico on line one. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
I'm glad to hear you again. I haven't heard you for a while because you changed your schedule, so I'm glad I could catch
you. The reason you haven't heard me, Stephen, is because I'm now a state legislator, and I was down in the state capital, Richmond, Virginia, for 3 months, from January to March, when we had
great.
So I'm back now.
You're going to be doing some good things there.
I
disagree with you on 2 points.
Okay.
On your definition of left, as far as Bernie Sanders is concerned, I would just say that Bernie Sanders, when he talks about being on the left, I would define that as just being more socialistic than maybe the usual Democrat. For example, free college tuition, single payers, these are not necessarily values of the Democratic Party, although maybe they're eventually they might come to that way. More like Scandinavian countries.
He's a democratic socialist. Right. He's a democratic socialist. I agree. Like Sweden or Denmark. I agree.
Michael Moore's movie. He has a lot of information about what it's like to live in some of these countries that are socialistic, and maybe it's not so bad. Secondly, I disagree with you on his ideas about a revolution. Well, ultimately, he may be in favor of a bloody revolution, although he doesn't talk about
it. No, I don't think he is. I think
I agree with you. I think what he means by a revolution is Tom Hartman's plea for getting involved, that democracy is a contact sport. It's not, you know, being on the sidelines. I think what Bernie means by a revolution is everybody getting involved.
But Stephen, that's not a distinctive difference.
That's what he means by revolution.
No, but wait, if revolution only means getting people involved, then he's no different from Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or, frankly, Paul Ryan. I mean, Paul Ryan wants to get people involved, not in the way I want to get involved. But I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's revolutionary to say that a politician wants to get grassroots involvement. I think we've got to go beyond that.
It would be revolutionary because you know as well as I do that this country has among the lowest voting rates of any country in the world. We're so free, we just take voting for granted.
That's true, but Hillary Clinton wants to increase voting, too. I don't think that's a distinction between them. To me, when Bernie Sanders says revolutionary, he wants revolutionary change. He wants to break up the banks. He wants free college, as you point out. He wants fundamental change. I think revolution implies a discontinuity with the past, like not a flowing change moving in one direction, but a break and a sharp change. We'll continue this conversation after the break. If you want to join the conversation, 888-653-7543, back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Who do you prefer? I prefer Hillary Clinton. I still like Bernie. I like him. He's got my heart. How could I not love a New York Jewish liberal with you know, who's 70-something years old with crazy hair? There's something really lovable about someone who cares passionately about helping everybody. And the issues he talks about are good issues. They're strong issues. They're things I believe in. I just don't think he'd do as good a job as Hillary Clinton. I also think he's harder to elect than Hillary Clinton. But that doesn't mean I don't like the guy. I've often said Bernie Sanders is the Democratic heart. I do think Hillary Clinton is the Democratic mind. A lot of people don't love her. It's true. But, you know, loving a president requires a certain personality. We loved Bill Clinton. People loved Jack Kennedy. People did not love Lyndon Johnson. But apart from Vietnam, which is a big exception, I agree. But apart from Vietnam, he did a lot of good in a lot of progressive ways. I mean, Civil Rights Act and War on Poverty. I can name a number of goods that this... Not that Hillary Clinton is anything like Lyndon Johnson. She's not that bad. The point is we've had all kinds of presidents. And to me, the most important qualification is who would be a strong president, who would be good, who shares my values, who would get things done. And the fact that they have a great personality. Listen, I think Bernie Sanders would drive me nuts. Just personality. People say, well, Hillary Clinton, she's just not, you know, warm and fuzzy enough. Bernie Sanders, I don't know, always talking about revolution. That could grate on me after a while. Look, I do think Hillary Clinton's going to win. I think she's got an advantage. She's doing way better now than Obama was doing 8 years ago. And I think Bernie Sanders has actually hit his high watermark because he tends to do very well in caucuses, which have a much lower turnout of very enthusiastic voters who have a lot of time on their hands because you sometimes have to sit there for 4 or 5 hours, which tends to be young people, which tend to be Bernie Sanders supporters. The caucuses are pretty much over now, right? He's won 7 out of the 8, he keeps saying, but Wyoming and Idaho and Utah and all those, they're done. We're back east now in states with primaries. Big, diverse states, New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware. I think Hillary Clinton's going to rack up the points here. I could be wrong, but I think Hillary Clinton's going to win. But that doesn't mean I don't appreciate Bernie Sanders and all he stands for. And I actually think there's a role for him to play in the Hillary Clinton administration. If you want to call in, agree or disagree, I want to hear from you. 888-653-7543. 888-653-7543. Stephen had to go, so now I've got Carlos from Denver on line 2. Hey, Carlos, how are you?
Good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, first off, thanks for working for us in Virginia. I grew up in Arlington, so thank you very much for that.
I represent a part of Arlington, so that's very cool.
Awesome. Couple points. First off, I'm a Bernie guy.
Okay.
I was perfectly happy and like ho-hum happy with Hillary being the nominee until Bernie came along.
Right.
And my point is that
Bernie excites you. Hillary Clinton satisfies you, but Bernie excites you. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, she satisfies me, but as my wife put it, she's like, why does the first female nominee have to be the wife of a former president?
You know, that's a really...
That's kind of like,
you know,
okay,
what?
That's
an interesting point. I used to dislike, and I'm talking about years ago now, I used to dislike Hillary for that very reason. When Bill Clinton was president, and then she ran for senator of New York, and of course, I'm not from New York, so I can't judge New York voters who apparently like her very much, but... I remember thinking, you know, she's first lady. She gets there because she's Bill Clinton's wife, and now she immediately runs for senator. And it just seems a little nepotistic, as it were. Nepotism, you know, appointing a member of the family. I used to think that way, and
yeah.
I used to actually give her a downgrade because of it. I fully admit that. And then I learned a couple things about her, and then I worked with her. First thing I learned about her was when I was at Yale Law School. I graduated from Yale Law School, and I talked to all the professors because both Bill and Hillary went to Yale Law School, and they were there like 15 years or so before I was there, and a lot of people, or 20, but a lot of people remembered them. There were still some professors around in my year that were there when they were there. And one of the things they told me was interesting. So they, in terms of grades, they're both very, very smart people. In the entire class at Yale, Bill Clinton was third in his class, which is very, very high at an institution like Yale. In the same class was Hillary Rodham. She was first in the class. So I was like, well, that's pretty impressive. To be first in your class at Yale Law School. I mean, Bill Clinton's got this incredible brilliance. She had a tiny bit more. So I was very impressed with that. But I met them both. I met them both politically. And when you meet Bill Clinton, have you ever met either one of them, Bill or Hillary, Carlos?
I have not, but I know he just exudes charisma.
When you meet Bill Clinton, the whole world stops, and it's just you and Bill. And I don't know how he does it. I've never met anyone as charismatic as Bill Clinton in my life, but it's like you almost end up gushing. It's kind of embarrassing because he's so warm,
the sun's on only
so
you, right?
Friendly, and so wonderful. And he pretends like at that moment he will not forget your name. I'm sure he's forgotten it by now. I've only met him once. But he and he speaks to you and asks you real questions, and it's not. He looks right at you, and Bill Clinton is, again, I don't think there's a single more charismatic politician alive in America today, or maybe in the world. All right, that's Bill Clinton. Hillary Clinton, I met her first politically. And when I met her, she shook my hand, and it was kind of a receiving line kind of thing. And then we made small talk, and then she was kind of like reaching out for the next person. And I was upset. I had met Bill like a few days earlier, and meeting her, I was like, that's all? I didn't like her. I didn't like her. I'm like, you know, we had no connection. We had no fire. We had none of this world stopped. She was fine. She didn't hurt me any. It was just like, eh. And I actually met her at a second political gathering and got the same response. And so I was kind of on an anti-Hillary kick for a couple. And I'm working for Barney Frank. I'm not a real important person, but I'm a kind of important person. You know, Bill Clinton pretended I was very important. You know, she could have pretended I was important too, right? I mean, I'm Barney Frank's chief lawyer. He's an important guy in Congress. All right. Then came the third time I met Hillary Clinton. Now, it wasn't a political gathering. It wasn't some speech she was giving where I shook her hand afterwards. It was a question of policy. It happened to be on George Bush's faith-based initiative. And if you've heard me tell this story before, listeners, I apologize. I got to repeat it. I was working on defeating George Bush's plan to allow religious discrimination in government, a pretty severe plan. And there's a lot of detail here, which I won't get into. I've gone into other detail on other days. But the heart of it is I wrote Hillary Clinton a 12-page memo. And that wasn't just for Hillary Clinton. I was knocking on senator after senator door. I remember I gave my 12-page memo to Mary Landrieu, Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana. And I met with her for 10 minutes, and I saw my memo. And you know how when you print something out from the printer, it's all crisp and clean and stapled, and it looks perfect. Well, that document looked perfect.
Sure.
She had not gone to page two. I mean, her aide handed it to her. She had it in front of her. There was not a bend in the staple. And needless to say, Mary Landrieu did not give me much time, and I was out the door. But something magical happened when I came in to see Senator Hillary Clinton. I saw my memo. My memo was dog-eared. My memo had yellow highlights. It had asterisks by certain points. And she still wasn't that friendly. I mean, I came in, I said, Senator Clinton, I'd like to talk to you about. She said, Mark, I want to ask you about footnote 4. I'm like, footnote 4? She's like, yeah. In footnote 4, you describe how the Bush administration used an executive order to allow discrimination in the Substance Abuse Health Act, and I want to know how the distinctions of why the law couldn't prohibit this from happening in the same way with Bush faith-based initiative. She went right into the weeds. She hit right on the most important footnote in that article. She got it immediately. She understood policy better than I did, and I wrote the damn memo. And here's the best part. When we left, she said she was going to change her view on the entire thing because of my memo. She complimented me. She said it was well-written, and she's going to change her view. And she's going to persuade all the other senators to do the same. And darn if she didn't do that. She changed her view. She had co-sponsored the bill. It was a great day. It was one of the best days of my life. She changed her view, and she persuaded enough senators to filibuster the view, and that's why we don't have George Bush's faith-based initiative, because of a memo I wrote Hillary Clinton. And again, I'm just a guy. I was just a lawyer for a congressman. But she gave me – when it came – she was terrible on politics. But when it came to policy, when it came to delving in the wings and understanding all the detail, she not only got it, but she was humble enough to change her mind, which a lot of politicians don't want to do, change her mind when she realized that an aide had given her the wrong advice and she had wrongly supported the bill. Frankly, it's because Joe Lieberman had persuaded her to support it, and that's back when Joe Lieberman, before he deserted the Democratic Party, this is 01, 02, right after he ran for vice president, and he convinced her to sign on, and then I pointed out the flaws in the bill. She saw it, and she switched. And ever since that day in 2002, I have been the biggest Hillary Rodham Clinton fan you can imagine. Yeah, she's not ever going to have Bill Clinton's charisma. But when it comes down to policy, when it comes down to detail, when it comes down to knowledge, when it comes down to passion, her eyes flashed when she realized that she told me at one point, she said, but Joe said, meaning Senator Lieberman, I said, well, Senator Clinton, Senator Lieberman said this, but actually, as you can see from the law, it's actually this. And her eyes flashed. Senator Lieberman had not accurately described the bill to her. She was angry. And she was willing to tell a senator off because some staffer, me, persuaded her that it was the right thing to do. So I hope this story gives you some insight into Hillary Clinton and to why I'm such a huge fan of hers.
You know, it makes her a lot cooler in my eyes, that's for sure.
She's very cool. I'm a big fan now. I gush over her. Not over her heart, but over her brain, which is amazing.
And I'll agree with you there. But it's the president doesn't make policy, but it's also a bit of a figurehead kind of thing. So, again, I like, I mean...
I know, she's again, not I mean, a great, she's I mean, getting she's better. Great. She's getting better at speeches, but no, she's no Roosevelt's fireside chat, she's no John Kennedy's, and she's no Bill Clinton. And listen, it's very, very hard to be a perfect president, and she doesn't have that skill.
No, she's not even a, I guess it's just when Obama was running, I was out there volunteering, doing everything I could, because I mean, I irrationally thought rainbows were going to sprout out of the earth.
I think some people think that about Bernie. Honestly, they think that he can achieve all he wants to do. Just because Bernie legitimately and with integrity believes all he says does not mean he can do all he says, and that's Hillary Clinton's point.
I agree with that 100%. And I also honestly believe that Hillary is going to get the nomination, and I'm going to go out there and volunteer for her as well.
Well, you should. And I'll tell you something. I think Hillary Clinton might appoint Bernie Sanders. I think he'd be a really good health and human services secretary in the cabinet. And he could oversee and make the Affordable Care Act better and make it work better and help people. I think that'd be a tremendous job for him. And I think he'd do a really good job at something like that. I'm going to recommend that.
I think that'd be great. And I'm hoping he's pushing her further and further to more a little more. I mean, because I do think there needs to be some sort of. I think the whole revolution thing. I think it's a bit extreme the way it's being played out. But I think there does need to be fundamental change. And I think it's even though it needs to start obviously with legislation versus you're not going to have like a real revolution.
Right.
But I think it's that people it speaks to the heart of a lot of people.
No, I think so, and I think he does speak to a lot of people's hearts, and I think that she would be wise to use him on the campaign trail and to actually use him in her administration. I do think Hillary Clinton will be our next president. I hate to predict too much because, you know, I want to, like, knock on wood or throw salt over my shoulder or something because I really want it to happen, but I think it's likely, and I think we'll be a better country. I think she's going to be a very good president of the United States. She, in many ways, she may be better than Bill Clinton because she has to work at the charm. She actually, I think, in many ways, he does it so effortlessly that I'm not sure how much of it is actually sincere. But with Hillary Clinton, she works so hard at it that I think she really listens. And the fact that she was, again, willing to listen to me, I think she really does listen when people talk to her. And that's a great skill in a president. So anyway, thanks for chatting with me, Carlos.
Go ahead, real quick. I'd be there.
What's that?
Had I had your experience with her, I think I'd probably be her biggest advocate as well.
Yeah. I wanted to share that. And I'm not anti-Bernie. I don't want anyone to think I'm anti-Bernie. I'm just pro-Hillary. I'm not anti-Bernie. So anyway, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let's take another break, and then we'll get more phone calls. 888-653-7543. 888-653-7543. Here's your last chance to call in right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. That's some Clinton music there. It's kind of unfair, but I've already told you what side of the aisle I'm on here. What has happened is what often happens. I get all these calls at the end. Stick around. I'm going to try to get to all three callers. But if we don't have time, we'll just go on till next Wednesday. Jimmy in Phoenix, line one. How are you, sir?
Hi.
Hi there. What are your thoughts on Bernie versus Hillary?
I don't normally call on radio stations, but
that's okay.
My thoughts basically are comparing them to past presidents, I guess. And mm-hmm. I unlike you, I think Hillary would be a lot like Bill Clinton as far as The way she approaches policy.
I think she would be like Bill. I think she just doesn't have his personality, but I think on policy, yeah, they're very similar. I agree.
Right. I think Bernie would be like FDR. I see him as, a revival of the progressive change that FDR brought about as far as a 40-hour work week, as far as, actually having workplace safety standards for the first time, having a functioning EPA.
I'll tell you something, Jimmy. Here's the difference between Bernie and FDR, and it's not so much in policy. It's in the way they go about doing things. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, before he ran for president, okay, he was governor of New York. He was someone who was very well known in the country. He was someone who worked the party up and down. Indeed, the Democratic Party was largely created in FDR's image, the modern Democratic Party. He knew how to work the system. He knew how to get things done. And I worry that Bernie Sanders is much more of an outsider than Franklin Roosevelt, and I don't think he could be as effective, even if they agree on the same things. Go ahead.
Is it not true that I think Bernie has passed more amendments than any other congressman in his time, in the House and the Senate?
That's true.
He does things a different way, but I think that he's been very effective. I think his understanding of policy is really strong, but where he differs from Hillary, I think, is he does have that ability to actually motivate the people. When you talk about things like, the fight for $15 an hour,
he's very motivational. Civil rights, no doubt about it. I'd like you to do something. If you'll read the New York Daily News interview with Bernie Sanders, I think there were a few times there when he seemed a little lost. Again, he's a great guy, but I don't think he has quite the mastery as she does. But I appreciate your call. I got to get to my other two callers. Let me go to Andrea in Albuquerque on line two. She thought I was being unfair to leftists, and she calls herself one. How are you, Andrea?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So you think I was being unfair to leftists?
I do. I think that there's a huge difference between being a leftist and being
a liberal
revolutionary.
Oh, okay.
And you were positing that while liberals work within the system, leftists don't. And if that were true, I think most parliamentary systems in Europe would have collapsed a long time ago.
What do you consider to be a leftist? It's distinct from, say, a socialist. Now, there are many socialists who aren't leftists. There are many socialists who work within the system in Europe, and you're absolutely right. In Scandinavia,
they're not.
So what is a leftist, in your view?
I think we use the term very broadly, and I think that it varies, actually, over time. But working on the far left edge of our political system may be about saying the system is broken and we absolutely need to take it down. But it may also be about saying we have moved the center, or we have allowed the center to move so far to the right that we must lean out the left side, the same way you do when a boat is tilting. We have to lean out the left side in order to move
to right the ship
over.
Yeah. All right. I understand that, and that's why I appreciate a lot of the rhetoric that Bernie Sanders has. I just don't think the system is so much broken as in desperate need of repair.
It can't be in need of repair if it weren't broken.
Well,
I think you're right.
We're playing with our metaphors here. My point is, it's a wire that's bent, but not actually broken, in the sense that we can bend it back without getting a new wire. That's what I guess I'm. It's all metaphorical. I realize that, but that's kind of where we differ. I do want to. I'm sorry, just because when you call at the end, I don't have as much time for you. I got to get to my last caller, who's Anthony in Massachusetts on line three. Hey, Anthony, how are you, sir?
I'm very good today. How are you?
Thanks for calling in. Quick, you only got about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, I kind of think we need a Bernie in there for that revolutionary. I'm a union carpenter in Massachusetts, and as I talk to other people when I go for training across the country, boy, they're losing bad. They're losing real bad.
It's true.
Massachusetts were like one of the last strongholds. Even in New York, union carpentry, they only have 30-35% of the market share.
Unions are being destroyed in Virginia, in my state. Absolutely.
And I think we need
a very pro-union guy.
Again.
Well, but what does a revolution mean? You only got about like 15 seconds to tell me. Real quick, what does a revolution mean in your mind?
Well, we really got to fire up people beyond just going out and voting. I mean, like Bernie said, you got to keep doing it. As union members, we're lucky to get out of 800 members.
Okay.
We can get maybe 50 to 100 people
We're out of time, Anthony. Let me just say, I do agree people have to get fired up. It's very important to get fired up, and I think liberals and leftists can do that together. I just don't think we need to completely break the system.